It's that time of the month.
It's that time of the month.
I love saying that. It's your special happy hour book club review show, Get Lit.
Get Lit.
With Erin Go Book and...
Ape on the Dink. That's I forgot my name. Wait, who am I? I am Ape on the Dink. Erin Go Book.
Hey, yeah,
Book.
I knew who you were. I wasn't afraid. Hello. Hello.
Hey, how have you been?
It's been a really wonderful month. I've done a lot of reading besides our... a book club book. Go nice. Figure, because I'm a book nerd.
You are a book nerd.
And I've been loving it. What about yourself? You've been good?
Oh, gosh. Busy? Yeah, we took a trip. We took a trip to Portland,
didn't we? Yeah.
Yes. We had such a good time. And one of the things we did while we were discovering Portland was we went to a huge bookstore.
Powell's Books. Shout out to Powell's Books.
You know, it was so awesome to see an independent, huge bookstore.
Yeah.
There were several levels. I didn't even know if we got on all the levels.
Absolutely not.
But that place was packed.
Yeah. There were four of us there and we just were meandering all over. And there were info booths telling people where to go to find certain books because the place is so huge. You're like, and like you said, the layers and the colors.
Oh,
we're going to the red room or the purple room.
Oh, it was amazing. They had so much stuff. And I mean, and what was cool too, they had a whole used book area.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I love that.
I love that.
But yeah, that bookstore was amazing. And got to wander around that for about an hour or so. So that was
fun.
We
sure did.
Yeah. We had a good time in Portland. We ate so much vegan pizza. We cannot lie. We had vegan pizza about four times.
I won't lie. I would do it every day. That place was amazing.
Oh, good stuff.
I was head over heels.
Yes.
But we should remind our listeners that support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew and local seasonal food. Open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Friday and Saturday until midnight. More info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook.
Yeah, we thank them for sponsoring Get Lit here. And you know what I also want to do real quick before we get started, before we dive into this month's book, I do want to say it is Veterans Day. And
yes.
Thank you for your service to all you vets out there. We really appreciate it. We appreciate what you do for the country and for everyone that lives here. And if you're looking for some camaraderie tonight, I know that the American Legion in Carbondale is offering up a free dinner to all active or non-active vets.
Oh, wonderful.
And yeah, it's free dinner. It's a roasted turkey sandwiches, open face with all the fixings that go with that, and a big old cake over there.
Mm.
And if you're not a vet, you can still enjoy it for $10. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Oops. The one thing I always yell at people about.
Check
you can
it out.
Still enjoy it. So, you can still enjoy it. But, yeah. And I think that, what's the other? Homestead at RVR is offering veterans meals. So, there's a couple of places in Carbondale. So, again, happy Veterans Day and thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
So, we're just hanging out here and drinking champagne cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we?
We're fancy.
We're fancy today because we read...
Breakfast at Tiffany's by Truman Capote.
Truman Capote. And I mean, I guess it's really hard to call it a novel.
It's a novella.
Novella.
Is what it said. I don't know what the difference is. Like, novellas are short.
Yes.
But yeah, it was published in 1958. So, of course, it has been out for a while. And the story begins in 1943. And the main actress, or I guess I should refer to the book. I haven't even seen the movie.
Yeah.
The main character in the book, her name is Holly Golightly. And she befriends someone. She's living in the brownstone apartment in Manhattan's Upper East Side. She's a young girl, 18 or 19, and she's pretty much a socialite. And she befriends this woman in her building, and he kind of tells the story of this strange character of Holly Golightly.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, I did read it years ago. So going back and reading it, I mean, there are a few things I'll touch on that were interesting that you tend to forget. But one of the things that I completely remember about this book is when you start reading it, you don't realize you're starting the book. To me, you feel like you're kind of reading like an epilogue or, you know, like a preface or something.
Yeah, it does kind of plop you right in.
Yeah, it's like... I wasn't sure if I was reading something personal by Truman Capote, just saying, hey, I used to live in this brownstone and there was this person and I used to hang out at this bar and we used to do this. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, this is the story. I'm not the way he tells it. I feel like to me, you almost feel like you're just during certain parts for sure. In the beginning, you just kind of feel like you're sitting there listening to someone tell a story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, I said, because I had never seen the movie, I didn't have any, I did have some preconceived notions about what the book might be.
We've all seen the pictures of Audrey Hepburn.
Of course. But it was not completely different, but very different from what I thought. When you learn about Holly Golightly's background, like who this girl is and where she came from. And like, she was this, I can't remember what they call her, like a hick.
Is she a hillbilly or is she an Okie?
Yeah, you hillbilly can't tell. Or an Okie. Because, you know, when they met, this girl comes and she was married to some old guy and has a bunch of like stepchildren. And you're like, what? Because when you meet her, she's this young, beautiful 19-year-old socialite. Right. Her, you know, with her jewels on and she's always fine dining. And you're like, huh?
Yeah.
What? It's so interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, what quite she is. I mean, I don't think she's quite a call girl, but.
Well, so I did read some notes on that.
Okay.
It said that she has no job and lives by socializing with wealthy men who take her to clubs and restaurants and give her money and expensive presents. According to Capote, Golightly is not a prostitute, but an American geisha.
Is how he referred to her.
Because, yeah, it did touch on that topic of, like, what was she doing with these men?
When, yeah.
You know, well, there's always questions.
Because one of her, like, I guess, like, code phrases is, oh, can I get some change for the powder room? And she makes a comment in the book at one point, any man who's worth their worth will give you $50 for the powder room. So that right there. Mm-hmm. And then another $50 for the cab ride home. So it's very interesting to
implications.
Me. Oh, yes. Yes. Because what year did you say this book was written?
It came out in, it was published in 1958 and the story begins in 1943. So, you know, close to the 60s.
Yeah. So I feel that the subjects that he touches on were probably so progressive at that time.
Absolutely.
They had to be. The sexuality, the homosexuality, the just, you know.
The independent woman.
The independent woman. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, that had to have been somewhat of a, I wonder what the reaction was. I did not look that up. It would be interesting to see what.
Yeah, I didn't look up. I didn't see when I was looking up the book, like reactions from when the book came out.
Because even, you know, I mean, in the movie, which, yes, I know is not the book.
Right.
There are a few things that are changed. But Truman Capote actually wrote the screenplay for the movie.
Yeah, so he helped on. He helped with it. So it wasn't that much different.
They still had a lot of that stuff in it. You know, they had a lot of that party girl in it. And she makes that comment in that even about the powder room and, you know. Yeah.
Get your money for the powder room.
Get your money for the powder room. That's the way to do it.
Right. Well, I did read, too, that he based the Holly Golightly character on several different women and close friends and acquaintances of his. Mm-hmm. I can't, of course, I didn't print these out, but some of the bigger screen names of the day of actresses that he was friends with, he kind of took, you know, pieces of many of their personalities and kind of blended them into this socialite young woman.
So here, I thought this was interesting. I'll just jump in with this. Truman Capote was born Truman Streckfus Persons on September 30th, 1924 in New Orleans. I think my dad was born in 24. His early years were affected by an unsettled family life. He was turned over to the care of his mother's family in Monroeville, Alabama. His father was imprisoned for fraud and his parents divorced and then fought a bitter custody battle over Truman. Eventually, he moved to New York City to be with his mother and her second husband, a Cuban businessman whose name he adopted. Kind of that same thing, I guess. anyway, he was a copy boy at the New Yorker in the early 40s, but he was fired for inadvertently offending Robert Frost. And the publication of his early stories in Harper's Bazaar established his literary reputation. And also mentions how he was associated with a wide range of writers and artists, high society figures, and international celebrities. Yeah, he was one of those, like, you know, party guys.
Yeah. He was only 60 when he died.
Yeah, yeah. But and he didn't write a lot. I think he wrote a lot more short stories.
The novellas. It says he was an American novelist, short story writer, screenwriter, playwright, and actor. Several of his short stories, novels, and plays have been praised as literary classics, including Breakfast at Tiffany's and the true crime novel in Cold Blood, which we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
At least 20 films and television dramas have been produced from his work. I remember seeing the film in Cold Blood Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The book is pretty amazing. This is okay. This is on the back of the book I have. This is what Norman Mailer just says about Truman Capote. Truman Capote is a tart as a grandaunt, but in his way, he is a ballsy little guy. Oh. And he is the most perfect writer of my generation. You know, I love his writing style. He's my favorite American author.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he definitely is my favorite American author. I love his writing style. And you and I had this conversation, and I guess it's probably, I'm not much of a, what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? You know, conspiracy theorist. But my theory is that he wrote
To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, what I have, he does acknowledge that he and Harper Lee were really good friends, and he says, "She was my best friend. Did you ever read the book To Kill a Mockingbird? I'm a character in that book, which takes place in the same small town in Alabama where we lived. Her father was a lawyer, and she and I used to go to trials all the time as children. We went to the trials instead of going to movies."
Yeah.
As what he said about it. And then, but after, as I don't know if everyone knows, but so she won a Pulitzer Prize in 1961 for To Kill a Mockingbird. And he published In Cold Blood in 1966. And after that, they became increasingly distant from each other.
Maybe because he wrote that book and she won the award.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
So what I've read about it is that she kept struggling while she was writing it and kept giving it to him.
Right, for him to work on.
And so, I mean, maybe it was just simply a collaboration.
Yeah, I was saying a joint effort. Yeah, but exactly.
Because the book they found after her, and that was the only book she ever wrote until Harper Lee passed away, and they found a manuscript for a prequel, and it was horrible. Sorry.
I'm going to read it, and then I'll judge. Yeah. I don't know how – that's just your – that's probably a lot of people's opinions, but I should read it.
I don't say that very often. I usually there's something good about it. No, it was pretty poorly written. But
one thing I did find about – I thought it was interesting about his childhood is it says Capote taught himself to read and write before he entered his first year of school.
Wow.
And he was often seen at age 5 carrying his dictionary and notepad and began writing fiction at age 11. So a very articulate, intelligent young man. I mean, my gosh, you taught yourself to read and write before you entered school?
That's crazy. That's crazy. So I'm going to read a passage that I love from this. So we set the stage, if you haven't read the book, Holly Golightly, which I love too. Her name is actually Holiday. That wasn't her real name.
Oh, but
anyway,
I like that.
Yeah, because and I remember the first time I read this, I'm trying to think how old I was. I don't know, maybe early 20s or something. I have to admit, I associated so strongly with her character. I really did.
I think, it depends on where you are in your life.
Yeah, I mean, she moved out at 14 and was on her own and took care of other people's kids. And there's a very strong similarity there for me. And just the way she talks about, you know, just being strong and not wanting to put down roots, because then that changes you, changes your perspective on things. And she had business cards made because she loved to go to Tiffany's and just look at, you know, be there. She thought it was a nice place and she felt like she should buy something. So she bought business cards and they said Holiday Golightly. And then in the corner, it said traveling.
Traveling. That was her address, was traveling.
I always thought I'm going to get business cards someday.
I aspire to have that traveling.
So here we go. This is just a short She was still hugging the cat. Poor slob, she said, tickling his head. Poor slob without a name. It's a little inconvenient his not having a name, but I haven't any right to give him one. He'll just have to wait until he belongs to somebody. We just sort of took up by the river one day. We don't belong to each other. He's an independent, and so am I. I don't want to own anything until I know I found the place where me and my things belong together. I'm not quite sure where that is just yet, but I know what it's like. She smiled and let the cat drop to the floor. It's like Tiffany's, she said. Not that I give a hoot about jewelry. Diamonds, yes, but it's tacky to wear diamonds before you're 40, and even then that's risky. They only look right on the really old girls. Maria Ospenske, wrinkles and bones, white hair and diamonds. I can't wait. But that's not why I'm mad about Tiffany's. Listen, you know those days when you've got the mean reds? Same as the blues? No, she said slowly. No, the blues are because you're getting fat, or maybe it's been raining for too long. You're sad, that's all. But the mean reds are horrible. You're afraid and you sweat like hell, but you don't know what you're afraid of, except something bad is going to happen, only you don't know what it is. You've had that feeling, right? That's the mean reds.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
They're scary.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting too. As you said, you're reading different books and finally I'm getting back into it. For some reason, I picked up a 600 page book before we left on our trip and thought that it'd be great to carry that around. And I did. But
did you read any of that?
Oh, yeah. I've read most of it.
No, I mean on the trip when you
carried
it around.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did end up reading quite a bit of it.
Okay, just
checking. Then I'm also reading another book for another book club we're in, which I'm really getting into. But in this book that I'm reading, it's actually a Stephen King book, but he talks about having the mean reds. And I thought, how funny that he just throws it out there. He doesn't say, like, you know, he doesn't give it reference or anything. He just said, yeah, I have the mean reds.
Yeah, but don't you think that? I bet Stephen King is well read. That he's read some Truman
Capote.
And I love when things layer like that.
Uh-huh.
Like when old song, like when somebody redoes an old song. Because, you know, when you're young, you're like, oh, this is a cool new song.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, this has been remade 3 different times.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, like.
Oh, no, absolutely. I absolutely have no doubt that he was referencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breakfast Tiffany's.
That.
But I love that he didn't say that that's where it was from. He just used the lie.
Right.
And I loved that.
It's just like when we talked about the, I got to go return some videotapes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you know that movie, you know it, or the book also.
Yeah. If you know the reference, you're in the cool club. We'll just leave it at that.
Just got to return some videotapes.
But one other thing I thought was cool after reading this book as I was doing my research and found out that Tiffany's in New York actually does have a restaurant now. It's the Blue Box Cafe. It's located on the 4th floor of the New York flagship store, and they serve American classics made with the highest quality regionally sourced ingredients. The menu evolves through the seasons for a refined take on signature New York dishes reinvented to be uniquely Tiffany.
Do they have breakfast?
Yeah, they have breakfast.
Oh, okay.
And I had to mention this dish because it blew me away. They have a 10-carat breakfast is what it's called. It has a Siberian Ostra caviar over buttermilk waffles with lemon creme fraiche for $100.
Wow, $100 waffle.
The 10-carat breakfast.
I will have 2 of those,
yeah.
Please.
So, and it's very, very, like, high class because their reservations are, like, at least a month in advance. And you can't even call them to make a reservation. You have to do it through their scheduling app to make a reservation.
Wow.
They don't even want to be bothered with
your
phone call.
But you can have breakfast at Tiffany's.
But now you can really have breakfast at Tiffany's if you so want to, which was not true when Truman Capote wrote the book.
No, she actually, well, they don't really go into it, I guess, of course, as we say, drawing from the movie. She stands out front drinking coffee and eating a croissant or something.
Yeah, she just dreams about, like, I think she has her breakfast in her hand and walks by Tiffany's and is just dreaming about.
Yeah. So our cocktail today, because this is happy hour, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Clink,
that's
clink,
the other part of
ting,
our.
Ting. We are drinking today champagne cocktails, and there are several different recipes out there, but this is the first one I got, so this is what I went with. And the ingredients are 1 sugar cube, Angostura bitters, champagne, and then lemon or orange for a twist. It says soak the ginger cube in Angostura bitters and drop into a champagne flute, top with a luxury champagne, and garnish with a lemon or orange twist.
A luxury champagne.
Yes, I love that it specifically
says. Is, like,
not
all champagne luxury?
I guess that not. What is a non-luxurious champagne like? No bubbles?
Right. Oh, that's just wine, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There you go. Sir, my champagne is flat. You ordered wine. That's because you ordered a Chardonnay.
Oh. Whoopsie.
Whoops, whoops. So the book, as it goes on, she is involved with some dicey characters.
Mm, yeah, she visits somebody at Sing Sing.
Yeah, Tommy Tomato or something.
Oh, yeah, Tomato.
Yeah.
He. See, that's another one of those, like,
yeah,
I'll visit you in prison and smile and look cute for you,
yes,
and then you pay me.
Yes, that's it. Her, he had seen her and had been kind of taken with her, but he had never met her. And he got sent to prison. And his lawyer contacted her and said, hey, go visit him once a week and get the weather report and we'll give you $100 a week.
How would you feel if somebody propositioned you at that?
It would depend on the time of my life. I mean, honestly, at 19, 20, I probably would have been like, okay.
I mean, it brings up a very interesting question of women's rights, because even though she is a very, it's this classic, like, she's a very strong, independent woman, and she definitely uses her good looks to get places in life. Well, and it's just an interesting story.
I mean, I guess that's why I said I'm pretty sure I read this probably in my early 20s. I went through this time where it was like, I want to read these American classics, you know. So I read A Clockwork Orange and,
that was
creepy. But yeah, I mean, I probably was 19 or 20 when I read through a bunch of these. And back then, I mean, yeah, that was kind of on my list of things to do.
Get paid for your good looks, just to stand there and have people. I mean, if I could get that to happen.
I was a cocktail waitress at one of the biggest bars. You've probably heard the story, and it's funny. It's a joke now because it never was a big deal before. I was a cocktail waitress at the bar that Patrick Swayze's working at in the beginning of Roadhouse. And it's called Bandstand.
Oh, you told me this.
Yes, that's what I mean. And that's what all that was all about.
Shaking
was just
your money maker for the tips.
That's it. I mean, no one wants to see that chick nowadays, but.
Okay, read your quote because then we've got some more things before our time's up.
So here's another one of my favorites. He says, never love a wild thing, Mr. Bell. And Mr. Bell was the proprietor of the bar that they was around their corner.
Right.
So they went into all the time. Never love a wild thing, Mr. Bell, Holly advised. That was Doc's mistake. He was always lugging home wild things. A hawk with a hurt wing. One time it was a full-grown bobcat with a broken leg. But you can't give your heart to a wild thing. The more you do, the stronger they get. Until they're strong enough to run into the woods or fly into a tree. Then a taller tree, then the sky. That's how you'll end up, Mr. Bell. If you let yourself love a wild thing, you'll end up looking at the sky.
That's really sweet. Wild thing.
Wild thing.
All right. So I got to tell our listeners that support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works. Open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. and Friday and Saturday until midnight. Beer Works hosts numerous nonprofit fundraising events, including music trivia night for the Andy Zanga Youth Empowerment Program tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. More info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook. And to let you know, next month's book, we are going to be reading a book called Tears Run Dry. Probably not a very well-known book, but written by a animal veterinarian that I used to work with. So I helped him with this book a long time ago, and we're going to read it. His name is Patrick Colenzi, Tears Run Dry.
Wait, you helped with this book?
Yeah, I'm going to grill him about it because I wasn't in the thanks, and I did.
Oh.
So anyway.
Wow. Can we say that, as you just mentioned, that the that Beer Works hosts numerous fundraising events, and one of the events coming up is going to be
KDK Bingo.
Bingo.
Yeah, Ape on the Dink and I are going to be hosting Bingo on the 20th at Beer Works.
Yeah, so come on out. You can support Katie and Kay, have a lot of fun, and just hang out with other Katie and Kay, you know, supporters.
Absolutely. We all love Katie and Kay. You should love it with us.
Play bingo, and yeah, lots of fun. So what else is going on? We've got a, let's see, it's four. Oh, boy,
I think probably Bird Note's coming up.
All righty. Well, we want to say thank you for listening to Get Lit, and we hope to see you
next month.
Yeah, or next week at Bingo.
Next month at Bingo.
All right.